the Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning. Our first case is 2015-340. It's 250 Shoup Mill, LLC et al. Versus Joseph W. Testa, Tax Commissioner of Ohio. For the appellant, Mr. Collins.
My name is Chuck Collins. I represent the appellant 250 Shoup Mill, LLC.
Take the podium, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. If it may please the court, I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, if you would, please. Your Honors, we're here today on a tax exemption question involving charter schools. When this issue, I think, last was predominantly before this court approximately 5 years ago in the Anderson-Maltby litigation, shortly after that litigation, the statute that's really at issue here was amended. And the language in that statute from 2011 forward removed the requirement that the lease or the operation of the premises not be with a view to profit. However, for what we're discussing here, we're in the tax year 2010. So that language remains relevant for the appeal today. But in terms of precedential value of this case, other than the two remaining cases that are similar on this court's docket for 2010 tax years and prior, really the precedential value of this case likely doesn't go forward. But it is relevant certainly for the parties in this particular litigation. And at issue in this litigation is a bit of a novel structure in terms of determining whether this is used exclusively for charitable or educational purposes. And this is something that the tax commissioner wrestled with. This is something that the BTA wrestled with as well. So if it would please the court, I'd like to take just a few minutes to describe the hierarchy of what we're dealing with. At the lowest level, the tenant for this property is Horizon Science Academy, Dayton High School. It is a charter school, and I don't think there will be any argument from the Attorney General's office that that is a educational organization, that is a charitable organization. All it does is operate a public community school on the premises at issue.
And that's the lessee.
That is the lessee of the property.
On this lease.
It is.
And who is the lessor?
The lessor is also the owner of the property, and it is the appellant, 250 Shoup Mill, LLC. So the next level up, as you indicated, Justice, from the charter school is the title holding entity for this piece of property. And that is the appellant 250 Shoup Mill, LLC. It is a nonprofit LLC. It's a single member LLC. And under its organizational documents, the only thing that is allowable for this title holding entity is to obtain, acquire, and lease to the charter school, the premises. That's all that it does. However, because it is a single member LLC, I think it's highly relevant as to who is the member of this organization. And that's the third level of this organization, and that is New Plan Learning Incorporated. New Plan Learning Incorporated has a number of wholly owned entities beneath it. The testimony was that there are five of these, one of which is Shoup Mill LLC. These five entities that are wholly owned by New Plan Learning Inc. are all title holding entities for charter schools. So it does get a bit more clouded in terms of who are we talking about here, Chuck? Who is the appellant? The technical appellant is 250 Shoup Mill LLC, the property holder, because they're the one that the tax exemption is either going to rise or fall with.
Now is Shoup Mill a 501c3?
It is not a 501c3. It is a single.
Is it an educational organization?
Our contention is that it is an educational organization. It is a disregarded tax entity because it's a single member LLC.
Is it a 501c3 or 4?
No, because those are corporate statuses. So it's a nonprofit LLC whose tax status is disregarded and takes on the identity of the single member of the LLC, which is New Plan Learning Inc., which is, Justice, a 501c3. So it's sole member.
So how does it take on that status? What's the authority for it taking on that status?
I can't provide you I can't tell you right now the tax identity, but the testimony during the BTA examination of Murat Arabasi, who is the president of New Plan Learning, Inc., was that Shoup Mill, for taxation purposes, is a disregarded entity under the tax law, taking on the identity and the taxable status of its sole member, which is New Plan Learning, Inc., a 501c3 entity.
Does either Shoup Mill or New Plan, Inc. file a tax return?
New Plan Learning, Inc. does file a consolidated tax return on behalf of a nonprofit, which includes the activities of Shoup Mill LLC, along with the remaining five wholly owned entities that fall within New Plan Learning, Inc. So it does file taxes. It's a consolidated tax return.
Shoup Mill collects rent.
It does. That is correct, Your Honor.
Does it report the rent on a tax return?
It does not. Not on an independent tax return. It is part of the consolidated tax return of New Plan Learning, Inc.
All right. Thank you.
So it's the status of the appellant that you want us to really look at here. Is that correct?
Well, I think, in all fairness here, your concern, Justice Lanzinger, is this a charitable and educational institution? And I don't think it's fair to look just at the technical aspect. What we have here is a single-member LLC, and the sole member of that LLC really is the top level of this organization.
But in terms of property tax exemptions, those are to be construed specifically and, you know, very carefully. And normally, a property owner that leases to another is not going to be exempt from property taxes. And isn't that what the tax commissioner is looking at here, the fact of the lease, that your client, the appellant, is not in the business of the charter school?
I think that's what the tax commissioner looked at. I think you're exactly right, Your Honor.
Right. So have we taken the position that you're taking here in any other case or any analogous case, to your knowledge?
Not in the state of Ohio. The state of New York has, and we cited that in our brief. But because of this multi-tiered structure, I don't think this issue has been before this particular court.
And there's no statute currently in the current charter school scheme that we have here in Ohio that would address your problem. Is that correct?
Not specifically, no, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And again, you are correct that the tax commissioner was concerned with this lease.
Mr. Collins, you told me, I thought, that Shoup Mill does not file a tax return.
That is correct.
Why does it want a tax exemption if it doesn't file a tax return?
Because it is a charitable or educational institution that is leasing the property exclusively for those charitable or educational purposes.
Shouldn't those be the agencies then that would seek the tax exemption, since they are the ones who file the tax returns?
It's the property owner, Your Honor. I think that's who the tax exemption statutes run through, is who is the fee simple title owner of the property.
Is there any precedent where we granted a tax exemption to an agency that doesn't file a tax return?
That I cannot answer that question, Your Honor. I don't know.
You referred to them as a disregarded entity.
Yes, I did.
Where do I find a definition of that term?
In the testimony of Murat Arabasi. And he provided.
Is that a statutory term?
It is. I believe it is, Your Honor, under the tax code.
And what does it mean?
It means that for purposes of identifying the taxable status of an individual entity, when that entity is a single member LLC or is a wholly owned entity of another, rather than looking at the veil of that particular entity, the concern is we look at the sole member of that particular entity, and that sole member is the entity whose taxable status is going to determine that disregarded entity for tax purposes.
Okay.
You referred to Mr. Arabasi, so we keep moving up this chain. He's at the top, right?
I think that's fair. He is the president of New Plan Learning, Your Honor.
And he's it. Are there more people? Or?
Yes, there are. He testified that there are four employees for New Plan Learning, Inc. And so your concern, I presume, would be, Chuck, why do we need all these layers? Are you playing a shell game here? And we're really not. New Plan Learning, Inc. is an organization, albeit a small organization, that specializes in assisting charter schools. Now, this is a relatively new phenomenon in the state of Ohio, and I think we're all somewhat aware of this, but a charter school does not have school board authority. It does not have the ability to raise tax dollars. And so when these charter schools begin their operations as public community schools who do not charge tuition in the state of Ohio, many times they've got cash crunches up front. And the entity that leases the property, the school entity itself, a 501c3, they're not experts in identifying appropriate land, in rehabbing that land, in this particular case, a former pet store, into facilities that are appropriate for schools. They are not well-versed in negotiating leases. They're not well-versed in negotiating purchases of property.
So your client is the real estate expert, and he goes around and identifies properties, acquires them, and then leases them to the charter school.
New Plan Learning provides that expertise.
Okay.
And again, the title holder is Shoup Mill LLC, which is a wholly owned entity of New Plan Learning. So essentially,
New Plan Learning owns the 250 Shoup Mill entity.
Well, they're the sole member of that entity. Yes, they control that entity.
Okay. And who acquires the property?
The New Plan Learning identifies the property, negotiates with the financing arm, but the ultimate title holder is an entity created for that purpose of title holding for that piece of property only. And they do that for the purpose of an LLC.
Do they have a different entity? Let me ask this first. How many charter schools or community schools does your client provide a facility for?
Approximately 7 to 8. There are 5 entities, some of which have multiple charter schools within their entity.
So he is New Plan Inc. is at the top of the pyramid. He has 7 comparables to 250 Shoup Mill Road?
He has 5 comparable entities, some of which operate multiple
More
or involved
than
with
one
charter school.
Charter school site.
Yes.
Okay, and these are all nonprofits, like Shoup Mill and the others. They're nonprofits.
With the exception for one of the tax years, Breeze Inc. was a 501c2. It was a corporation that was not a nonprofit because the testimony was that the landowner at that particular time did not want to be dealing with a nonprofit.
Okay, so he provides a base rent of about $34,000 per month.
Correct.
And the charter school pays that.
That's correct.
And there is no profit then out of $33,000 a month to Shoup, a 250 Shoup.
That's correct. No intended profit, Your Honor. Now, in retrospect, they can't exactly gauge this budgeting process year to year. They're going to project, which is part of the expertise of New Plan Learning, here's what we anticipate our necessary revenues are to cover all of our expenses.
What are their expenses?
Their expenses are they have mortgage obligations to that.
How
they
much
have,
does that consume of the $33,000 per month?
The overwhelming majority, Your Honor, it does, because this property was purchased in the neighborhood of $3 million. It houses 250 students, so this is not a small operation. However, there are small costs also for the limited number of employees that they have. There are also, one of the difficulties with this is when the lending agencies are dealing with new entities, they have debt service ratios that they need to be covered. Their concern is you can't just get by on the skin of your teeth. Here's what we require for a safety cushion. And that really hits the heart of this.
So some of the $33,000 goes to bolster the safety cushion?
Well, it's something that the lender requires.
I understand that. I don't care who requires it. Does the $33,000, part of that, go to this fund that needs to be accumulated?
Yes, it does, to cover the debt service ratio is
How
what the testimony was. I don't know the exact amount, but it was 1.3 times was some of the testimony within.
1.3 times what?
At a 1 point coverage ratio would be just to cover the obligations of the lease or of the sale of the property.
So that's over $3 million in this cushion?
No, Your Honor. There is, the purchase price was in the neighborhood of $3 million, and then you multiply that by a factor of 1.3 for the coverage ratio for this particular property. So there is a segment of the lease payments that are necessary to cover the debt service ratio.
Does the $33,000 payment go to reduce the equity cost or increase the equity in the building owned by New Plan, Inc.?
The building, again, is owned, the property is owned by Shoup Mill, but the part of the lease payments that go to Shoup Mill, they then pay their debt obligation to the financing arm that enabled them to purchase this.
So we need to look, as Justice Lanzinger points out, at whether or not this is done with a view to profit.
Absolutely.
Is there not some equity being built up in the collection and expenditure of the lease payments?
Well, ultimately, there is equity being built up, and the property will be purchased. And once that purchase price is reached, then the expectation is that this desire to accumulate no profit will then be taken into consideration in determining the future rental payments at that time.
But we really don't know that today.
No, we don't. I think we're dealing with a long-term lease here that encapsulates a purchase of a property that was over a significant period of time. I think that's correct. But the concern is, and I will close with this, Your Honors, is there is no expectation, intent, or desire to profit from this. The only testimony in terms of how the lease payments were established is that it was the minimum amount able to cover all of the expenses associated with acquiring, rehabbing, and obtaining this property for charter schools.
But in Anderson Maltby, we didn't talk about an intent to profit, did we? We talked about
you absolutely
the profit.
Did. I apologize, Your Honor. I would say you absolutely did, because the Anderson Maltby looked at that, and in Anderson Maltby, we had a for-profit lessor. It was stipulated. Here we say we don't. And in Anderson Maltby, they said so long as the lessee does not intend to profit, and so long as the lessor does not intend to profit. It's not a lease itself that kills the tax exemption. It's is the lease undertaken with a view or an intention, in the words of Anderson Maltby, to profit. There could be profits that unexpectedly arise in this arrangement. And if that happens, those profits can get no further up the New Plan Learning, which is obligated by its organizational documents to then distribute those back down to the charter schools.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Ms. Baldwin.
Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court. This court should affirm the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals, which affirmed the tax commissioner's denial of exemption to Shoup Mill. In this decision, the board properly concluded that the Anderson Maltby case disposed of Shoup Mill's request for charitable for exemption under the former public schoolhouse provision, and that Shoup Mill did not qualify for charitable exemption, which is a conclusion consistent with and simply an application of the decision in the Northeast Ohio Psychiatric Institute case.
Could you respond to the last point that opposing counsel made regarding intent to profit, as opposed to just whether profit exists?
Sure. Under the former public schoolhouse provision, excuse me, that statute stated that public schoolhouses not leased or otherwise used with a view to profit were entitled to exemption. We have a view to profit in this case. The Board of Tax Appeals specifically found there was a view to profit.
And where is that profit? I mean, we asked some questions up here about the profit. I'm not satisfied with the answers we've received. Tell me where the profit is.
Well, we think the lease in and of itself has all the hallmarks of a commercial lease. First of all, there's the substantial monthly payments, which you referred to. The lease also has annual increases in those payments that just happen by virtue of the passage of time. They're not tied to any sort of index like the consumer price index. There's also penalty provisions within the lease for if there's a default in payment, or if so if there's a default, there could be eviction or increased penalty payments. This lease is also the foundation for the financing arrangements that New Plan Learning has with its lender. Okay.
Counsel, I want to keep you on that same line of questioning here. I just heard a phrase I don't think I'm comfortable with. How do you feel about an accidental profit? I'm not sure I understand. I'm sure every businessman and woman in Ohio would be very interested in knowing about accidental profits.
It's the position of the tax commissioner that there is no accidental profit within this lease. The terms of the lease were specifically set forth so that there would be enough rent coming in to pay for the mortgage and the note that was placed on the 250 Shoup Mill property. After New Plan Learning, through its ownership of Shoup Mill, placed that mortgage and note on the property, it then entered another contract, an assignment of the lease proceeds to the lender. So the lease amounts are specifically calculated to cover that debt. So there's, of course,
what is the length of the note and mortgage, the maturity length of that matched up against the length of the lease to this charter school?
The lease is a 10-year lease with 3 5-year renewals or 5 3-year renewals. And then I believe the mortgage is for 30 years. I have not.
So the title holder is protected for 10 years.
Absolutely. Assuming there's no renewals taken, right?
And assuming the charter continues to exist. Because they can disappear, right? And they're fully dependent on state funding, are they not?
That is correct. The financial statements that are within the record for 2010 and 2011 also indicate that there is a profit being made. So I think this intent to view
accidentally
to profit isn't the standard. It's not the standard in the statute. It's not the standard in Anderson Maltby.
Is there any document which allows the charter to become the owner? They're paying rent.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying state money.
Yes.
To
That's where the rent proceeds come from. Yes.
Pay rent. If they stay till the mortgage is paid off, is there any provision that they then get the building?
Not that I've seen in any of the records, no.
To make this clearer, does the tax commissioner have any example of what a lease without a view to profit would be? Can you give us an example?
Well, I think there was even language to that in the Anderson Maltby case, because there was a sentence that said there is such a circumstance, but I believe the lessor would have been contemplated to be a municipal corporation or a public school district. And that's not what we have here. What we have is a private entity arranging in private financing arrangements with this lease.
But why is that bad? I'm still not hearing why that means that there's a profit. If we've got money coming from the school to pay for the rent that then pays the lease, where's the profit in that?
Well, I think what your concern has been turned into is the revised public schoolhouse exemption for 2011 going forward. Prior to that, the plain language of the statute, the way it was set forth, foreclosed this type of arrangement. The General Assembly recognized that and changed the circumstances for moving forward. So again, Anderson Maltby completely applies to dispose of this case for the public schoolhouse question. Moving into exemption for the charitable question, again, as was acknowledged, Shoup Mill's only use of the property is to hold it and to lease it. This is the full picture of Shoup Mill's core activities. As this court held in the Northeast Ohio Psychiatric Institute case, leasing is not a charitable use, and it does not make up a charitable core activity. This is a statement that this court has articulated as far back as 100 years ago in the Benjamin Rose case, and has stated as recently in the Shadow Art Productions case.
Is this a triple net lease?
It is.
So that the school, the charter school actually pays the taxes.
Yes.
If you prevail.
Yes.
All right. And they pay the insurance, and they pay what else?
All the expenses are theirs.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
And then at the end of the lease, if this goes for 30 years, and it's, as you said, 10 years with three 10-year
with whatever the renewal provisions are.
There, who ends up owning the property?
That would be Shoup Mill.
Okay. So taxpayer dollars go to the school. The school uses $33,000 plus a month to pay the mortgage and all the expenses for this building. And at the end of the period, a private entity owns the real estate.
Yes.
And that real estate right now is valued about $3+ million?
That's what the mortgage was, yes.
Okay. Is that what the real estate was valued at?
I've not seen a value set for the real estate, so I can't answer that.
All right.
Coming back to the charitable discussion, Shoup Mill also is not an educational institution. This court stated in the Colell case that an educational institution has teachers, has students, and offers classes, and Shoup Mill does none of those activities. It's just leasing the property.
So it cannot piggyback on the status of the new plan that we, it seemed,
right,
that we were hearing before, that because there are these layers of process here, that doesn't apply, you're saying?
Correct. Too many ideas floating in my head at one time to try to get them all out. Again, the standard articulated in the Northeast Ohio case is the property owner's use of the property. That's Shoup Mill in this case. That's not new plan learning. This court has also stated that even though an entity may be related to another entity for tax purposes, that doesn't mean that its separate legal status is to be ignored. And what we have here is a not-for-profit entity, related, yes, to another not-for-profit entity, but they have their own legal significances.
Counsel, if I may, I want to keep you with the Chief's questioning there, because I think I've just discovered the accidental profit. Are you saying at the beginning of this lease you have a landlord that owns a building that has a $3 million mortgage, and at the end of the lease they have the same building free of mortgage?
That is true. There's also extra income over expenses through the years.
Oh,
as
I understand
well.
That. I'm just looking at the profit, and that just strikes me as being a profit.
Right. And in the world of charitable exemptions, that type of arrangement has always been viewed as a view to profit because the property value has increased over the term of the lease. That enough is a loan to disqualify an entity from charitable exemption. This court has said that in, again, the Benjamin Rose case, as well as in the OCLC online computer case. Really, what Shoup Mill is asking this court to do is to overturn or to ignore two longstanding principles of charitable exemption. One is that they're really trying to ask or trying to say that the lease proceeds, once they're done paying down the mortgage, are charitable, spent in a charitable way, because they eventually go back up to new plan learning and it's used to support new plan learning's property management services provided to charter schools. But how proceeds are spent from property that's used to generate income is not the standard. The standard's always been the owner's use of the property or the owner's core activities. The other principle that's being asked to be reviewed in this case is what the determinative factor for exemption is, and that is the owner's core activities, not the lessee's. That's what this court said in Northeast Ohio. Here, because the property use and the activity, the core activity is leasing, that's not charitable. Shoup Mill's trying to deflect the attention to that of its lessee, which, again, is a school, so that there won't be any dispute about that as what their status is. We're focused only on the lessor owner of the property. As a variant of this argument, Shoup Mill alternately contends that they should not be considered in the charitable analysis. This is that disregarded entity principle that they're presenting. And there's also reliance on an Ohio statute set forth in the briefs. It's 5701.04, which Shoup Mill contends lets it be considered the same legal entity as New Plan Learning. I think the point of this particular argument is to try to latch on to New Plan Learning's 501c3 designation to help it in its claim of being a charitable institution, but they're really misreading the statute.
What does New Plan Learning actually do?
They support the facilities of charter schools.
What does that mean?
They pay for the buildings.
But they do that through Shoup. Am I right?
Yeah.
Shoup gets the building.
Shoup gets the building. They collect the income. They essentially, I think,
transfer
send
it to New Plan Learning, and then New Plan Learning
pays the mortgage, and then
and
whatever's
they're a pass through for this money, and they're saying we're doing a charitable and an education related entity or activity
because the ultimate beneficiary are the charter school lessees.
Well, the charter school lessees that is, you know, extracting that money from the state education budget, then that makes its way up the chain over to the bank, and then one of the players, the Shoup entity, ends up owning the property. And if they're that closely aligned with New Plan Learning, does that not mean New Plan Learning ends up and somehow benefiting from the ownership of that land?
The tax commissioner would say yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, we've got layer after layer. But from a, and the legislature has looked at this and changed the law, right? To the benefit of folks like this.
Correct. Since 2011, Shoup Mill has had a property exemption under the public
school house. Isn't the interesting
exemption.
Policy question under all of this is, do these folks who are doing this charitable effort to help charter schools find places to live, do they make a reasonable personal income that is they're paid to do this for their expertise, or are they making a whole lot more than that? And we don't know the answer.
We don't know that answer, no.
But
no.
Wouldn't that be the question that the General Assembly?
Absolutely.
Did they?
That I do not know. I did not. Didn't focus our attention on the 2011 going
probably
forward.
Probably a fair bet they didn't.
Thank you. Just to wrap up, the standard of review in this case is that reasonable and lawful board decisions are affirmed. This is that decision, and it's supported by the record. This court should affirm the board's decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, you've used your time. You may take a minute.
Accidental profits. Bad use of the word on my part. Incidental profits. But let's assume that this lease is set at an amount expected to cover New Plan Learning's expenses as part of the expertise. Two of New Plan Learning's employees suddenly leave without notice. So they've had an extreme reduction in their expenses of their workforce. Other employees are required to pick up that slack in the interim. If they can't replace them immediately, those salaries are not paid for the remainder of the year. And there is an incidental, unexpected profit because it was expected when the lease rate was set that we were going to be paying more employees. So that's an example. Accidental was an unfortunate word. Incidental profits, unexpected profits. And the reality is that money under the organizational documents of New Plan Learning can't go anywhere but back to charter schools. Your question, Justice Pfeiffer, hits on this exactly. Isn't the question really, shouldn't we be allowing these entities as their ultimate goal to support charitable educational institutions? If this entity, if this school wants to walk away from this lease after 10 years, they walk away after 10 years, and that entity is left holding the bag, Shoup Mill, for the remainder of the lease. They've got to go out like other lessors and find a replacement.
What is the amount of the property tax in dispute right now?
Do you know, Melissa?
I believe it's between 50 and 60,000 a year.
How much, please?
$50,000 to $60,000 per year.
Because for the future, we will not have this problem.
That's correct. Okay. This ends at 2010. And again, what does new plan learning do? It goes out, it finds facilities, it rehabs facilities, it changes those facilities into gymnasiums, classrooms. The actual bottom line entity, the school entity itself, doesn't have that expertise. They want to run a school. Teachers make profit, right? We pay teachers and we expect them to have a living wage. And so there are wages that are paid to new plan learnings.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor, I appreciate it.
We'll take the matter under advisement and you'll be notified of our decision.